This podcast is sponsored by Kinexys Recruit, Ireland's leading digital recruitment agency. Whether you're looking to reach top talent, considering a career switch, or in need of guidance on the ever-changing talent landscape, partnering with Kinexys is a no-brainer.
Hello, listeners. I've Maura Roth from the very successful Yoga with Maura on the podcast today. Welcome to the podcast, Maura.
Thanks. Oh, I'm delighted to be here.
Absolutely. So let's get straight into it. If we can start at the beginning, Maura, tell us a little bit about your story and what led you to where you are today.
So very long story short, I was someone that didn't do much movement, moved to New Zealand back in 2011. I was just finished college. I was like, right, I'm going to go and do that whole travel thing, you know, and went out there and everyone is moving. Everyone's running. Everyone's in the gym. Everyone is that I'm meeting is doing yoga. So I started to run at that time. And then all of a sudden I was getting tight from running. And then someone was like, why don't you try a yoga class? And this is about 2012. And then I started dabbling yoga. I was also working in a corporate role at this time. So I was working in insurance, fell into it. That's a very long story that I won't bore you with. Love the people I worked with. And then after a good few years of practicing yoga, this one teacher, Lizzie, I'll name her. She was an incredible yoga teacher and she just shifted it for me. And I just, after the class, I was like, holy shit. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on this podcast.
But, don't worry.
You know, I said, you know, I was like, oh my God, there's something in this and I want to bring this back to Ireland. So that probably took, I sat with that feeling for probably a few years. Then I was like, right, I want to go to where I'm moving back to Ireland after being in New Zealand for almost 7 years. And I was like, I'm going to do a bit of travel between, go to the birthplace of yoga, which is India, do my teaching. And then when I come home and do my real job, which I classed, you know, insurance corporate as a real job, I could just teach one class a week and this will just fill my cup of, you know, that feeling of having a purpose and loving what I'm doing in my corporate role. Not saying people don't have a purpose in their corporate role. For me, I just love the people that I work with. I didn't love the role. And I went in for the people and I was clocking off, you know, the minute I could, getting to my yoga class. So anyway, after going to India, traveling, started to teach yoga while I was traveling, I was like, I'm just going to give this a go. I'm going to give it a go for a year, see what I can do. And that was in 2018. And I haven't stopped since. And then my company was formed after a few years and I'm still hustling to today. There's been lots of ups and downs, but that's kind of where it all started.
Amazing. And tell us more about Yoga with Maura. Maura.
Yeah, so the name was never meant to be the name. I was trying to think of a name for Instagram and I was a bit impatient. I was like, oh, I'll just do my name, Yoga with Maura. And I said, you know, I'll eventually change it to a company name. That was always the plan. And then Yoga with Maura kind of stuck. And I started to just teach yoga for lots of different studios around Dublin, around Ireland, and host yoga retreats. And then in 2020, when the world changed, as COVID happened, all of a sudden I wasn't able to teach in yoga studios. Everything was closed and I felt everything was almost controlled by other business owners, even though I was self-employed and even though I was a sole trader at that time. And then I just decided, you know what, I went to my yoga mat because I was stressed. I was like, I have no money coming in. What am I going to do? Did some yoga. And then I was like, you know what, I'm just going to give free online yoga. So did that for 12, 13 weeks, ended up having a solid 400 or 500 people with me every day online for free. My Instagram following grew from 3,000, which I had worked so hard to get to, up to about 15,000 in that time. And then after 13 weeks, I don't know if you remember that June 2020, we thought the world was open and everything was normal again for summer. Then my yoga studio was born. And what I did was I transferred people from my free service onto a paying monthly subscription. And that's when my company was born.
Wow.
And yeah, so that's a little bit of a sped up story. I mean, there's plenty of speed bumps along the way and lots of failures and lots of learning, but it's been amazing.
And you mentioned stress there, right? So when I work with any of my clients, it's normal to be stressed around an interview process and the day before your interview or the day of your interview. How do you think? Do you think you could use yoga maybe to help you in the actual interview itself, or before the interview or after the interview?
Absolutely. Like, for me, I feel like yoga is a superpower. And mm-hmm. even though it's great to get to a yoga class and go to a studio, but if absolutely anybody is going for an interview and they're feeling like their heart is racing, stress is up, they haven't slept well, close your eyes when you arrive, even in your car, take 5 breaths, which I feel like everyone has time to do. If you don't have time for mm-hmm. 5 breaths, you need to change something, because 5 breaths can take you out of that fight or flight into your rest and digest, your parasympathetic nervous system. And all of a sudden, you're a bit clearer, you're a bit calmer, and you can be confident. Now, also, yoga comes in other forms. So if you feel like you de-stress after you go to the gym, plan it before. Mm-hmm. If you de-stress after, you know, getting outside with your dog, having a play with your kids, something, yoga is about treating your body right. It's not just about the physical postures that we see online and what I teach. Obviously, I feel like that's the best way to de-stress, but it's mm-hmm. about what works for you. So absolutely, you know, breathing is a key. It's one of the limbs in yoga. We have 8 limbs, and your breath, which is your prana, your energy, 5 breaths. That's what I recommend.
Okay. And I'm a total novice to yoga, Maura, right? So so maybe I can do one of your classes one day, right? And you can show me how
absolutely.
It all works. But if you were, so when you begin a yoga class, do you do breathing exercise to begin or to finish with, or how does the breathing fit into the whole yoga piece?
So the breathing is part of it. So basically okay. the first moment when I get my students to arrive on the mat, close their eyes, they breathe, they're grounding. Couple of breaths, then mm-hmm. throughout the practice of yoga in my vinyasa style that I mostly teach, you connect each move with a breath. So for example, you inhale, reach your arms up to the ceiling, exhale, release them back down. As you're moving through the postures, you're moving with your breath. So it's breathing the whole way through. It's a moving meditation with your breath. Mm-hmm. And this is what helps you switch off if you are an overthinker like myself. If you are a little bit ADHD, a bit all over the place, I get my best clarity from just breathing and being focused on my asana, which is my physical practice.
I think you make a really good point there around the overthinking, right? And some people that I work with, they do their interview and then they're ready for feedback and they overthink, so they catastrophize. And there's nothing worse than that, because it keeps you up late at night, right? And you can't sleep. And I believe sleep is the key to everything. And within the sleep piece, Maura, I noticed you did a podcast on sleep bedtime meditation. And I'm always saying, you know, sleep is, as I said, it's key to absolutely everything, but also around your interview process. Could you tell us more about sleep bedtime meditation?
Yeah. So like, you know, what you said there about the overthinking and, you know, catastrophizing, like, honestly, everyone does it. So if you are doing it, don't judge yourself for doing it. But what a sleep meditation does, or any kind of meditation, is actually it's impossible for us in this Western world with phones to empty our thoughts. Okay, that's not going to happen. But what it can teach you to do is to detach from them. Let the thoughts be there. Let the lists be there. But allow yourself not to get so involved that you're working out the problem. So through my guided meditations, I do all sorts of meditations, but I started this sleep series because common thing of people today, whether you're going for an interview or you're just trying to juggle life, work, business, family, everything, you know, life admin, your house, your chores, sleep is something that always, when you're stressed, always gets, you know, last on the list, or you got stuck into this Netflix series and you can't put it down. You can't close your eyes, and falling asleep then because you've been too much in your fight or flight. So a little meditation. I actually started to create these ones because I would always do some at YouTube for myself and my husband, put them on and go to sleep. And I was kind of running out of them. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start putting them out, selfishly putting myself and my husband to sleep as well while we listen to my voice on a Sunday night. And it sets us up for a week. So yeah, to answer your question, like what you said, you know, sleep is like a fuel. You know, we don't forget to eat, so we shouldn't forget to sleep well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the more sleep you get around that interview process, the more sharp you are, the more energy you have. And that affects your body language, your tone of voice, absolutely everything. And I'm just kind of getting flashbacks to, you know, that Sunday night fear before the week begins, which is probably the best time to maybe use your type of sleep bedtime meditation, right?
Absolutely. That's something I fear, you know, or, you know, you've been doing so much all weekend and suddenly you're like, Monday, you know, I had this task on Friday from work, or you're waiting, like you said, for an interview, and that anxiety is building up, and then all of a sudden you're tossing and turning until 1 a.m. and then you know you're going to feel bad the next day. So just even 5 minutes breathing, putting on a little meditation, or else like get rid of the phone in the evening.
Yeah,
you know, try turn the TV off even half an hour, 20 minutes before bed. Just have some quiet time, read, and it'll wind you down.
And I actually get in that habit myself more, but in the morning time. So I have my phone on sleep mode, and I don't look at my phone until I drop the kids to school, because I know that if I look at something on WhatsApp or the news or whatever, it can actually, that's negative. It can set me up for a bad day, right? I think, as you said, you need to do that at sleep time. Shut the phone off.
Yeah, and like that's protecting your peace. You know, even we've just recently moved back into my parents' house when we get ready to move into our house. And, you know, you got to protect your peace. For my husband living with my in-laws, me living with my parents as an adult. And like even we fell into the habit for the first couple of weeks of our phones being plugged in beside our bed, and we're in bed having a scroll. So now I've got us to put our phones outside the room. You know, we can hear the alarm. You have to get out of the bed or set another alarm, because that just doom scrolling in the bed in the evening or the morning, like, it's not good. Not good for your relationship, not good for your mind. And but it does take self-discipline.
Yeah. And it's totally pointless, isn't it? I feel you don't get anything from scrolling at all. You're better off to read a book.
I mean, you might just make a little purchase or two. That's about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Maura, what's something about you that most people don't know?
Oh, I would say I'm fiery. I am fiery. I definitely have a lot of passion and, you know, a lot of calm. And I think maybe sometimes people think as a yoga teacher, you know, that they just sit and they're really calm and they're really peaceful all the time. Yes, I am, but only when I'm doing my practice. So I come from a big family. And I have 5 brothers. I have a lot of masculine energy. So when I want something, I get it done. And yeah, I don't really like no's. So I'm fiery, I suppose.
5 brothers. Are you the only girl?
I'm the only girl. I'm in the middle. So I've got a bit of that trauma.
Wow. You've got 5 bodyguards there.
That's it.
Some of our listeners may know more, or they may not, that you're on the UK Apprentice, which I watched you myself. It's something I actually watched with my mum. I watched The Apprentice with my mum. It's like a tradition that we have. But could you describe that the UK Apprentice, the experience from beginning to end?
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I'll tell you why not to do it. And no, I'm only joking. Okay. honestly, I fell into it. I don't know if people believe me when I say this, but I actually never really watched The Apprentice. I knew what it was. Okay. I was on honeymoon, scrolling. We were just talking, not scrolling, scrolling on the beach. My business had went through a loss. I had created an app that failed miserably. So I was down a lot of money. And then this ad popped up. I don't know if my phone heard me. Win 250K. And I just applied to be on it. Didn't say a word to my new husband. And then in January, I got an email. One night in bed to my husband, I was like, I applied to be on The Apprentice. He's not Irish. He was like, what, Donald Trump's apprentice? I was like, no. Alan Sugar's in the UK. So anyway, then I went through 3 months of interviews and different processes. But maybe when I look back now, I think it's possibly there are more auditions than interviews. Yeah. They were labeled interviews, but I would say there are more auditions. So I started started filming in late April 2023. And it went on. I was there for 6-7 weeks. And to be honest, I went on it. I was like, you know what? I'd love to win this. But then as I started going through the process, I was like, this is going to be great exposure for my business. I'm going to just go. I'm quite fiery, as I said. I'm quite competitive. So that after that first interview, I was like, I'm going to get this. I want this. And I don't know if I really wanted it. Maybe that was ego. It was like, oh, I want this. This is something that can really help my business. So got into the process. We often call it the process because I will never look at TV again. And, you know, I don't want to spoil it for you, especially if you're an apprentice fan, Owen. But
it's
not staged, but it's very curated. And there is so much restrictions. And I pretty much realized after about 48 hours in it that they probably decided the winner. They probably predicted who's going to go where. And they just want you to play their really, really silly game. So I just went through it and was like, you know what? I am going to be me. Just going to do the best possible job I can. I'm not going to shaft anyone. I would never do that in business or work in my corporate role. Just going to be myself. And I hustled my way up to week 9 and then got the big, you're fired. So it was an experience that I'll never forget. And would I do it again? Probably not. But then I wouldn't repeat it. But, you know, it was interesting.
An incredible achievement, like to put yourself out there, with such a huge audience. And you're right, I'm sure it got a lot of exposure for your business as well. What I would love to know is what is Lord Sugar like in person? Is he any different from the guy that we see on TV?
Do you know what? I felt funny calling him Lord Sugar because I'm Irish. You know, he's not our Lord. He was Alan Sugar to me.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
No. Do you know what? He was so nice and he was so sound. And I have to say that because he has, on the TV, you know, he's very much black and white and that, but he had a soft side. I think he liked me. You know, they definitely cut out a lot, but there was a lot of like people that would just tell fibs and lies in the boardroom. And I would just be like, that's not true. And I'd call it out. And then a few times he'd be like, roll the tapes. And he'd see that I was telling the truth. So I think he liked that. He liked people to be honest and truthful in business. He was really nice. He's not scary, more of a teddy bear. But Karen,
Karen Brady is it?
Karen Brady. I went in, what did I say? Don't meet your heroes. That's so true. I was really excited about meeting her. Not saying she's a bad person, she just had zero time for anyone, and you know, just not what you think. I had listened to her on the Diary of a CEO podcast and I was like, yes, I'm gonna meet her. And the day I was going in, I got the anniversary of listening to that podcast and sharing it. And then I met her and I was like, it was a total different experience than what I had heard. But Lord Alan Sugar is definitely sound.
It's funny, isn't it, that what you see on TV is totally different. You said you went through like auditions, but they were kind of interviews at the same time. What was the toughest interview that you had to do? Was there anything specific that was really, really difficult?
Yeah, I would say that the toughest one was towards the end of the process. Before you kind of, there's stages, and there's about 10 different stages, but towards the end, they did an interview, which was actually like a stage task. So they had a camera, they put girls in one team, boys in another team. And I was put into a team with like 8 girls and everyone was screaming to be heard. And that's definitely not a scenario that I would be used to or want to be really part of. So I found that I just kind of froze in that situation. And everyone was kind of competing to be louder and louder. And it's really interesting because the two of us in my interview that didn't react like that, us two got in. So it was really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't being very diverse, putting the females with the females, males with the males. They weren't being very diverse.
Boys versus girls. And then the other thing, I think that, you know, if anyone is going through their interviews, I know you're an expert on it, but Like, and it's probably easy to say, but I think I was just myself throughout the whole time. And they do so much tests on you. Like, you can only ever be yourself, and there's only one of you. And if you're in a privileged position that you can actually be fussy about an interview and they don't take you for you, you know, I feel like if someone hires you at a job or a role for you, there's a higher chance that you'll stay in that role longer and be happier.
I couldn't agree more, Maura. Like, if you're not your authentic self in an interview, you'll join a business for the wrong reasons, and in 6 months' time, you'll be asking yourself, why did I actually join this business? Like, it
wasn't being my authentic self.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And that can be hard when maybe you have one job offer and, you know, it's not the right place for you. So yeah, it's some advice I give my clients all the time. But yeah, I 100% agree. Maura, what's next for Yoga with Maura?
You know what? I've 2024, or this year, has been a year of me saying yes to a lot of things. And I just said the year of the apprentice, I would just say yes to opportunities. And I think I probably, even though I'm promoting balance, I probably have struggled a little bit with balance. So next year, I'm just going to find a little bit more balance, be a little bit more organized. And I have some big goals on, instead of working in the business, work on the business. So I'm really trying to focus on, you know, getting myself out there more. Social media is so powerful. It's a gift and a curse all in one. But I think if you use it right, I'm someone that's very, very new to LinkedIn. So I'm trying to focus on that. And then that's the plan, just to keep growing and also just keep spreading yoga wherever I can.
Amazing. And where can our listeners find you, Maura?
So it's really obvious, or really a name, Yoga with Maura. Sorry, it's not a very exciting name, but yogawithmaura.ie is where you can find me online. And I also do some community events near you own. Once a month for my community online, I do some sunrise yoga. I just had one last Saturday down in Sandy Cove. I've been doing since 2022, actually. And it's just once a month community get together. I get new yogis each month, and it's just a nice little laugh, and we jump in the sea after all year round.
Amazing. You might see me down there one of the days. Any podcast or book recommendations?
You know what? My good friend Yvonne Trakarin has a really good podcast, and it's called All Up in Your Biz. She's got an American accent, but she's an Irish girl. She's lived over there and came back, and she is amazing. She's all about manifestation, and I feel like I'm a truster in the universe. I'm a big believer in manifesting, and I feel like she's going to be like the next Irish Oprah.
Wow. Okay. I will look at her up myself.
Yeah. That sounds like an interesting one.
Maura, your energy is contagious. You know, I can feel it. So it was a joy having you on the pod, and I feel our listeners will be inspired from our chat. I know I have. Thanks so much for coming on the Interview Expert.
Thank you for having me on, Owen. Love and light. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Interview Expert. Make sure to check out our website, yourhire.ie. where you can subscribe to the show and also find out more interview tips and tricks. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Owen Murray is available for private coaching. See our website for details at yourhire.ie. Until next time, do good, feel good, and be good.